Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And hey, it's a great start already. Had a great phone call before I came on the air with a good friends and family, my good supporters that helped really start the children's ministry and orphanages in India. And just catching up with them, they received our gift letter and our contribution letter that we have. If you'd like a copy, email me, david@revmedianetwork.com, and I'll send you a copy of our contribution letter. And what they did was they just wanted to call, encourage me, tell me that they're going to continue just being a blessing and try and plan out. But they want to sit with me and plan out something that we need to do in India, something that we have to do for the kids out there. They want to create a long-term plan so they know and operate and do the things that we got to do. And I told them, hey, that's wonderful. We prayed and we just fellowshipped, and I always pray for them. And they kind of just were a start of what the show was going to be about today. And what we usually do is we have different guests come on. Today's going to be a little bit different. I'm changing up things just a little bit to make things a little bit more fun, little things more ministering towards you. I can have guests all the time, my friends, but I prefer to be a blessing to you first in the first half hour, and then we'll bring in an interview that we've had in one of our NRB shows, one of our ICRS shows that we go to coverage. In fact, I'll be again in February, no, in March, I will be at the NRB again in 2013 here. I'll be there for a couple of days getting some more great interviews. So I'm excited about that, and I want to be able to bless you and be a blessing to your life with those interviews, because those interviews are key factors. In fact, we're going to have Miss June Hunt on the show with us today via the NRB interview from last year, 2012, and we're going to be interviewing again in 2013. She has released two new books, and I'm going to read you those two titles in just a few minutes, but let's talk about what I want to talk about. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Thank you for the emails and prayer requests that we've been getting in. I tell you what, last time I told you on the show, people got healed, and then I got some emails come in for prayer, and I want to pray. I prayed for them, and I sent them an email, but I want to pray for you. I want you to call me. I want you to get a hold of me. Our number is 888 642-4767, extension number 5, or extension number 4 is the prayer line, extension 4. Give us a call. Let us know your prayer request. Let us know that what you need to see God happen in your life. You know, all of us have questions. All of us have wants and desires. All of us want things to happen, and we have to let God allow it to happen. My friends on the phone, we talked about some things, and it's just almost exactly what I'm going to talk to you today about on the show. Now, I'm not going to mention to you what their needs are, of course. I'm not going to tell you that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, that there are plans that we have, praise God, plans that we have that we have put before God, that we have asked God to do miracles for, that we have asked God to do something for us, and yet we're still waiting for that to come in. And I tell you what, it's not fun to wait. Praise God. I don't know. It's not fun to wait. And I keep going back to the story of Joseph, how long he had to wait and how long he had to keep going. You look at Abraham. Look at how long he had to go in. In our society of instant, praise God, in our society of microwave, and that's even gone far. Now microwave takes too long. Am I telling you the truth? It used to be back in the 80s and 90s that, wow, the microwave is an awesome invention. It didn't take, it just warmed up my soup. It warmed up my chili. It warmed up my hamburger or pizza or whatever. But now, it seems to take too long, because I look at it and say, wow, 2 minutes. Oh my gosh, a minute. I can't wait that long. Now, we are living in a society when a microwave takes too long. We are. I mean, we literally want to do a drive-thru and go through. In fact, we get mad when we go through a drive-thru and our food and our drink is not ready for us. And when we get to the window and they have to tell you, don't you hate that? When they have to tell you, can you go up there and wait, sir? Well, if you have all the kids that are picky like mine, and I make the order, we have to wait for the order up front. And they usually come out in a couple of more minutes and two or three cars drive by and like, hey, they got their food, I was here before them. Well, you have a bigger order or a special order, it's going to take a little longer. So we're living in a society where microwaves and drive-thrus are too slow. So if we're living in a society that those things are too slow, don't you think when we wait on the very things of God that they seem to take too long, that they seem to be way back there than the plans that we want? That what happens when we see life and we want things to happen today? We can have a good plan. We can have a great plan. And I'm going to give you some ideas of what happens when hope is deferred. And that is the scripture we're going to look at. So if you want to get your Bible out, we're going to ask you to look at that scripture. When hope is deferred. In other words, it's not happening. You ever have a student loan? And you're supposed to make payments on that student loan, and the person is waiting for you to make payments on the student loan. And I'm not talking about those that have not paid their student loan. Please, this is not one of those type of shows. But what I am saying is that you had a student loan. It's time for the pay of the two student loan. But now, you know, you don't want to make the payments. There's some things that came up, and you defer a payment. And it happens on your vehicle as well. You can defer a payment on your vehicle if you don't have the funds or things aren't working. They usually allow you one or two deferments, and you can do that. You can make that happen. You can move things around. And we live in a society that we're able to defer things. So deferment means waiting for another time to make the payment, that it's going to happen. And what you're telling these people when you don't make the payment, but you take a deferment payment on your student loan, on your vehicle, I don't think it works on houses. I worked in the mortgage industry. There's no such thing as deferred payment on a house. But there, for vehicles, I guess that's the main thing. And it's put to the back. Your payment is not going to be paid. You're going to defer this payment, and you're going to pay this payment at the end of the loan. So in other words, if your loan was about 4 years, 48 months, on the 49th and 50th month is when your payment's actually going to be finished and paid for. Your vehicle will be paid for. And you're not going to start making payments on that student loan until you actually go over there and say you defer it for another year. Well, next year you start making the payments. Well, what if God does the same thing with your dreams, with your hopes, with your plans, with the things that you want God to do? He does it with those things. What if God does it with those things? What if he makes that happen where you can't see those things come to reality this minute, this hour? Our greatest failure is a dream not brought to life because of disappointment. That is one of the greatest failures. I forget what Lester Sumrall used to say. I had someone on the air with me that told me something that Lester said. And it's slipping my mind. I think it's something that the failure is dreams. He said when you get older, you begin to realize that. I remember it now. When you get older, you begin to realize the things that you never got done, and those become your greatest failures. Now I'm paraphrasing. Because as you get older, and when you get older, you look back and you start realizing the things that you could have done and should have done, and those become your greatest failures. How many of us go through that today? How many of us see that happen all the time now? And we see what happens, and we look at life, and we look at how it does not. We don't feel like we're getting the best out of it. We don't feel like we're getting all of the stuff we need in it. And what causes this? Let's read the scripture real quick. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Not getting what you want. Now this is that. Now that was the King James version. Now then, you know I love my King James. But I was reading through the different translations for this, and it says here. In the contemporary English version, I really don't know much about that Bible, but I like what it says here. Not getting what you want can make you feel sick. Not getting what you want can make you feel sick. You know, there's a few things that you got to do in your life to make a plan come together. You can't just want something from God and not plan it out. You can't just not plan out what you want. When you want something from God, you can't walk through life and not plan out what you're going to do. You can't. There has to be some planning for God to operate in your life and in your ministry. I've told you from time and time how we started this entire radio broadcast station. How, you know, I was looking at those stats even yesterday. We have close to 1,500 people listening to Midwatch throughout the month. Some days I have 100, some days I have 400. And it's amazing to see that they continue to come back, so I thank you. I thank you, and that encourages me to put more shows on the air. That encourages me to keep doing what I'm doing and believing, and believing that what God has called me to do. I'm telling you that God is doing wonderful things in this young man's life right here. I call myself young. Praise God. I do. I've been in this a long time, my friends. 25 years coming up in April. 25 years. And I believe God is doing great things with this ministry and what we're doing. And believing God is doing a great thing in ministry with us. But if you want God to move, you want God to operate in your life, well, you got a plan. You got a plan. You can't just say, I want to be a great evangelist for you, Lord, and not plan how you're going to evangelize and keep praying and keep believing. I've seen plenty of friends and plenty of family that constantly just pray. And friends that pray. And that's good to pray. But until those people get out those doors of their prayer closet and start moving in the work of God and planning out and saying, okay, to get to this point in faith, I got to do this. And I tell you what, as you get busy with God, remember one of my favorite scriptures, the multitude of busyness. A dream cometh through the multitude of busyness. Ecclesiastes 5:13. The dream cometh through the multitude of busyness. In other words, keeping busy for God. Jesus always said, I am busy about my Father's business. I am busy about my Father's business. You got to make a plan, and you got to go forward. You know, one of the greatest compliments a good friend of mine just gave me last week, praise God, that we had him on the air with us, and then we're talking afterwards and about going to a couple other places to minister, and he said, I want you in charge of this for me because you're a great planner. And you know what you're doing, and you hear God, and you're a great planner. About on the mission trips, he wants me in charge of his own mission trip. He asked me to be in charge of it and for me to go with him. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll jump on it. I'll get me the dates and time, and I'll figure it out and pray it out and see how long it takes to get to places and do it. You see, that's something that wasn't always there. But I had to start planning. I had to start planning my ministry. I had to start planning the things that I was doing. I had to start planning what was going to happen the next day for my ministry. But you know what? If you don't plan it out, if you don't take the time to plan it out, if you don't take the time to put your plan out there and figure out where you want to be. I had a good friend of mine, Nigel McNeil, back in 97. David was born, so it was about 97, 98, that I went to go hear him preach, and I was at a low point in my life in ministry. I just left from this large ministry. I just left from this place that I was traveling. I was going into places and ministering. I was raising funds for this ministry. I was doing great things. I was constantly busy, constantly moving, constantly active. There was a plan every day what we had to get done. Are you following me? And then they let me go. And it took a year from that to 2 years from that. Actually, that would be about 2 years, 3 years from that. I was still in a low. How many of y'all been in a low for 3 years? Just not where you want to be. Just not how you want to be. Just not exactly how you want it to happen in your life. And then all of a sudden, someone gives you a word or gives you an encouragement. And the best thing was they didn't have no word for me. Not really. I think, yes, Sister Kathy did. She said that I would be pastoring one day. And I thought, oh, I'm not a pastor. And I was a little bit unreceptive of it. But I could see where pastoring helped me and helped my preaching, helped my needs, skills, and helping people. And she went on to say that, Nigel went on to say that you got to plan it out. Where do you want to be in 5? Where do you want to be in 10? Where do you want to be in 20 years? What are your goals? What are your plans? Well, you know what? It took a long time. It took a long time for those plannings and those goals to come in, because in 2000, I was still wandering around, preaching the gospel, being effective, amen, people still getting saved, people still getting delivered, people still getting touched, but I was just another preacher. And then I sat one day and said, God, there has to be something more to just preaching sermons. Give me the better plan. Give me the better ideas. Give me what I need to hear, Lord, on how I need to be a blessing and what I need to do, Lord. Give me that, Lord. Let me have that. Let me do it, Lord. Give me the ideas. Bless me, Lord. And from that day, I wrote a long, 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 long plan. So exhausted. I mean, it was like 30 pages of ideas. 30 pages of putting things down that this is what we're going to do. And I was young, still in faith. Well, not really, but kind of. You ever bite off more than you can chew? I shared it with a few people, and I'm going to tell you something that Shambach told me when he was preaching. He didn't tell me personally, but when he was preaching one day, he said this. He said, be careful who you share your dreams to. Be careful who you tell people what God has told you, because you don't want anyone, especially the devil, to hear it. You want to keep it in your heart until God makes it happen. Now, I have a hard time doing that. I do. I get so excited when God tells me something. I get so excited when God gives me ideas and concepts, you know, and it just gets harder to hold it in. It does. It gets very, very, very difficult. But God is able to do stuff with you. So I took this 30 pages of stuff, and I think I have one of those left. I think I have one manual left. I think I do. I have one manual left that I made. And I took these 30 pages, and I said, well, where do I start? You know, you can have a lot of great ideas, my friends. You can have a lot of great thoughts, my friends. But you got to have a starting point on one of them. I'm like, where do I start? What do I do? And I just left it there. You know what? It was too big. It was so big that I did not know what to do. It was so big that I did not know what to do with it. It was too exhaustive. It was too much. It was way overboard. It was something that people said, well, you got to have an army to do this. You have to have a church or something to make this happen. And I looked at it and I said, well, I don't know what else to do, my friends. I left it there and it became hope deferred. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It becomes not getting what you want can make you feel sick. Desire cometh, but when desire cometh, this is a tree of life. It is a tree of life. I can't read my writing. It is a tree of life. Proverbs 13:12. Now it says, when desire cometh, but what? Now let's read what the Contemporary English Version says. But a wish that comes true is a life-giving tree. Most visions and desires and things you want to do are things that need life. You're the only person that can bring life, that can breathe life into your dreams. I'm getting a Holy Ghost moment here. Praise you, Lord. Just as God breathed life into man, he's given you his Holy Ghost. And you have to breathe life into your vision. You are the only one that can breathe life into your dreams and into your desires. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can make it happen for you. Now, what happens when life isn't breathed into your dreams? There's giving up. If you're not planning, you're going to end up giving up. If a dream's too exhaustive, you're going to end up giving up. And who wins when you give up? Well, not you, my friends. Well, actually, who loses? Now, we know the devil is the one that's over there celebrating, but I don't like giving him any accommodations, any rewards, any accolades. Absolutely not. Who loses? The people that lose are the people that are around you that need your faith, need your inspiration, need your excitement. That's one thing that I know when I'm low is when I'm not excited. I'm naturally just excited about God. There's nothing fake about it. I just love God. And I overwhelm with his love and just excitement that he's going to do something. And that's why miracles happen when I preach, and why when I go to places, people are delivered, because my excitement radiates. Just like Jesus, the reason people were healed and were expecting healings was they seen the Son of God, and their excitement was there. They knew that God himself was going to touch them that day. And we have to be like that. We have to be that excitement to people. We have to be that radiance of God. We have to bring expectation that when they see us, they see power, they see life, that they can reach into heaven with you and believe. That is our goal in faith. If it's not your goal, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. But your plans can be too big. They can be too big. And I'm not saying God can't do big dreams, but you got to start somewhere. And sometimes it starts with a small beginning. The Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. Do not despise small beginnings. This is becoming a great sermon. I'm sorry, my friends. You know, I don't like preaching too much to you on the air, but God is doing something, and we're going to receive it in Jesus' name. Now, what happens when you give up? You become sad. Like I said, you lose your excitement. You become disappointed. And the devil holds this over your head. Your conscience, not the devil, holds it over your head. But you give that conscience ammunition by not doing anything and feeling more sorry for yourself in faith. But God is not raising up a weak church. In fact, God said, I've given you the spiritual moments. I've given you the divine moments. I've given you a movement of faith, movements of healing, movements of the Spirit. I've given you movements after movements after movements. But it's now time for you to move, my friends. It is time for the church to move for God. It is time for the church to start moving and stop waiting for the great next movement to come. And the great next movement is the church moving out, my friends. That's something I got in my prayer. And I believe it. I really do believe it. Before we go to our break, I got three more quick points to make on this, just to encourage you and to excite you about God and what God's doing. And that is this, my friends. Ask God to show you how. There's several times in my ministry that I always look and I say, God, how do I do this? How do I make this happen? How do I make this happen, Lord? How do I get this plan to go? And when I do that, God talks to me. If you trust him, when you pray to him, don't you think you should trust him? That you should trust him with just everything? In your directions, where you're going to go? Ask God how. Show you how. If you don't know where to start, tell him where to start. And then this other thing I want to tell you is, ask him if you're being stubborn. Because sometimes you don't want to do something that he's calling you to do. Sometimes you don't want to do something that he's telling you to do. And he's telling you to do it, but you don't want to do it. You're afraid. Or you're being stubborn because you want to get it done this way. Ask if you're being stubborn. A lot of times, plans don't come out is because we're being stubborn. Plans don't come out because we're not being truthful to ourselves. That God has a different plan. Don't hold on to something so hard that you lose God's complete direction, and you lose some friends and you lose some family because you're being too stubborn. And they know you're a man of God and a woman of God, but because you're being stubborn and you don't want to hear, then you lose them and they lose respect. And you lose, you know, respect is a hard thing to get back. So you don't want to do that. You want to say, God, please show me. Let me show you that I am a man, a woman of God that hears you. That hears you. The other thing is, ask if you're supposed to be doing this. I'm going to show you a story in a minute. Ask if you're supposed to be doing this. Hey, not every great idea is from God. Not every great idea is from God. And you got to remember that there's a scripture that I'm trying to remember right now. The way that seemeth right unto man leadeth unto death. The way that seemeth right unto man leadeth unto death. Now, believe this. Sometimes things that seem good and seem right will lead you into a path, way that you're not supposed to go to, even death, even destruction, death being death to dreams, death being death to hope, death to desire. The other thing you got to ask is it time? Oh man, I can do a whole show, and I will do a whole long show on how this all started and where I could have been and what I would have been done But I tell you what, it wasn't time back in 2000 to have my own radio station. The technology that God wanted me to do this on wasn't put together yet. It wasn't time for me to play a publisher to 2005. It wasn't time till 2009 to own a station for myself. It wasn't time till 2013 to launch our first television show. It wasn't time. God has a reason and a season for that reason. You have to be able to trust him that the time is right when he does it. You have to trust him. You know, years back in 2000, because three of my boys were born. Three of my boys were born, 2001, 2002. Back in 2001, 2002, I was visiting a church, and I was going there regularly, and we're members, sort of, kind of, had a hard time adjusting to being a member of a church, and had to be in 2019, 98, 1997, 99, 2001. Yeah, had to be 2002, because Matthew was inside the nursery, and Nate. And I was at a church, and I had this great job opportunity. Great. It was a great job. I mean, it was something that, hey, I could fit this. I can be a headhunter. They're trying to hire me to be a headhunter. Can you imagine me being a headhunter? And I was like, hey, I just need a better job. I'm trying to take care of my family, trying to buy better things, trying to get better things for us as well. And I was a preacher, but I didn't have a plan. Hello? I was a preacher without a plan. I was a preacher without a plan. Can you say that again? I'm a preacher without a plan. God has given me all these little good onesies. Okay. Preacher without a plan. Give me a second. This is too good. That's what that's called. Okay. And I had this job. It looked great. Everything seemed right. I hit it off with the owner so good. In fact, the owner was just so excited about what we were doing. And he wanted to be a part of whatever. When you have an anointing like I do and like you do, people get excited to be around you. They want to figure out how they can be a part. And that's where this owner, he was trying to be a part of it, and he just wanted to see how he could be a blessing to us, and he figured he'd hire me. We made a good friendship, or a good meeting, I suppose, no more than friendship. Well, it came out that weeks and weeks went by, and they never called me back, and then when I called back, they just said I wasn't qualified. How many of us have been told that? You don't qualify. And the owner basically told me to I wasn't retail qualified, so he's being honest. You know, you need to go, if you really were looking for a better job, you need to go into the retail industry. You're not a graduate of a high college area, and you can't, you know, how are people going to come to the place when it comes to talking about education and stuff? You're not going to be equivalent to the people you're trying to bring in, and you're not going to do great. And he was probably telling me a great thing and trying to save me from being disappointed. And I was really, really upset with this guy. I was just really surprised that he said that. But he was honestly looking at it even today. He was just trying to keep me from getting hurt and trying to keep me from not eating because they'd have to carry me for so many months and that's it. And I told my pastor, Pastor Nelson at the time, and then he said, And really quickly, he just said, It must not be the will of God. Like that was no big thing. And I was like, but, and I kept trying to argue, not argue, but trying to make my point. I guess argue, but in a nice way. That this was a good plan and I could do it. But he said, son, this is just not God's will. You need to just let it go. And I was too headstrong. We still talk here and there, but I wasn't at that church much longer. And it wasn't because of that, but we lived in an entirely different part of town. And it just didn't work out. It didn't work out. But I'm going to tell you, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it becomes a tree of life. Not getting what you want can make you feel sick, but a wish that comes true is a life-giving tree. Praise God. We'll be right back. We're here, One Impact, right now.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
It's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's troubles. We say we want to pray for them, and we'll bring it up even in prayer group. But what we really want to do is share the gossip of someone else's misfortune. Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is all about the power of one. There is one true God, you are one person, and you have one impact. Do you know that by sharing your faith to one person, you can reach thousands? Not long ago, my husband surprised me with the opportunity to hear a very well-known author and speaker at a conference we were attending. I was so excited, and I made sure we got there on time. But within 5 minutes of this person's talk, I looked at my husband and I whispered, "I'm ready to go." I was so disappointed. You see, this world-known speaker opened the talk by bashing another well-known Christian who had made a mistake and fell miserably. And what surprised me more is that the audience, they all clapped. I was shocked. You know, the problem with Christians today is that we say one thing and do another. We talk about forgiveness and we say that we do, but do we really? We are so quick to shoot our wounded and pour buckets of salt on the wound. It's no wonder non-believers turn from Christianity and call us hypocrites. We need to change the way we think, what we do, and what we say. Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no," because anything else comes from the evil one. If we say we're going to forgive somebody, we need to forgive them. If we say, "Yes, I will pray for you," we need to pray for that person. There is only one person that I know that has ever lived a life free of sin, and his name is Jesus. And we must remember that. We all mess up. We all say things we regret. We all make big mistakes. But it's only by God's mercy, love, and grace through his son Jesus that we are forgiven. God never promised our life would be easy here. In fact, he said we'd face many trials in James 1:2-4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face many trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its race so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I love the last part of this verse because it's so important. Listen to these words again. "So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Sometimes we're not ready for what God has to give us. We think we are, and then we get caught up in what the world has to offer us. We're not mature and we're not complete, and that's when we fall on our faces. Stay strong in what God has started in your life. Persevere, even if you've had a setback, even if you've messed up big time. Go to the one that can turn your life around and get back on his path to do what you were called to do, to be complete. He is the only one you should worry about what he thinks. Don't let others tell you you're not good enough. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's waiting for you. This is your day to stand up, brush off all your troubles, and get going. If you have any comments, shoot me an email at www.oneimpactbible.com. I'm Terry Squires, and until next time, change a life and make your one impact.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez. You've been listening to Midwatch with the Rev and also One Impact Show, which comes on for 5 minutes. It's my 5-minute break in between segments to load up the next guest or to put on the next broadcast. So I'm glad that you're tuned in and stuff and to hear that. I hope that the shows that I'm bringing you and the things that I'm sharing with you, I'm hoping that they're making a difference in your life. I'm hoping that sometimes when you're down that you turn on the station and you log in and you hear it, and it's beautiful to be able to listen to the show and hear it from anywhere. And pretty soon we're going to be broadcasting on a new network as well. And besides RevMedia Network, we're going to broadcast on what's called Truly, Truly.net and Truly.com. And we're going to be on that. And that's going to actually take the Midwatch Show further than we expected. And we're going to start with just the Midwatch Show, but then a lot of our broadcast is going to be on there. So I'm hoping that that's going to take us further in the broadcasting realm. And we have a great show here for you, and we have it to wrap up with Ms. June Hunt, and we're going to have her loaded.
Welcome
here
to the show. This is your host, David Yannis. You're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We're back again here at the NRB, and we are seeing some awesome things already. Had two great guests already. We had Ms. Ann Jimenez, and we had Jim Markham. There's another Steve Markham that's a big pastor in Kansas City. So it's a different person. But we had Jim Markham, and we had a great, great time with him. Now, what we have today right now is Miss June Hunt. Say hello, June.
Wonderful to be with you, David. Thank you.
And we are honored to have you. You've done so much already in the faith. I mean, you've written many books, correct?
Correct.
And you have a strong counseling ministry, is it?
Yes, biblical counseling ministry.
Biblical counseling, and you're just really doing many things. And I'm very honored to have you on our show. It's a good thing to see women of faith and women with longevity and faith that just lasted and continue to pioneer. I think you're one of the pioneers in the Christian counseling, aren't you?
You know, I really think the whole issue is, what has God taught us, and can we turn around and share what is life-changing with others? You learn best by your own experience, and I needed, number one, to have a changed life through Christ. I didn't know that. I needed to learn how to forgive, and I didn't think that that was logical to me. It wasn't actually reasonable to forgive, because to me that means you let somebody off the hook. And so I had to learn about that. So ultimately, unplanned by me, we are in 27 languages in over 60 countries with what is called a biblical counseling library on 100 topics. So, I'm as amazed as anybody could be about what God has done in that way. Not me, but what God has done.
Amen. So we talked about forgiveness a little bit there. Now, I did a sermon about forgiveness. It was an interesting thing. I said, you have to have either God's forgiveness or, we have to have God's forgiveness, not man's forgiveness. And I'm talking about Peter saying, and all the disciples saying, how many times should we forgive? Hmm. And I tell everybody this, that there's God's forgiveness, which means 70 times 7, means unlimitedly. And then there's man's natural ability, like you were saying, letting someone off the hook. Man's naturalness will say, no, I can't forgive you for that. But we have to.
We need to understand what God says.
Amen.
We don't have to, but we will suffer the consequences
Absolutely.
If we don't. In fact, it's very interesting. Following what is called the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, there are two verses that are key. Specifically, though, it's if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So the question is, do you want to have a full release as God intended, or do you not? It's an issue of choices.
Absolutely. The word, it also says, if you're going to bring your offerings and stuff, it ties to your finances too. If it's better for you to leave your gift there at the altar, go make forgiveness, and then come and present that gift to God. Mm-hmm. And so it affects a lot of things in your life. Tell us about your book on forgiveness.
Well, the title is How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It.
That's a good title.
Since I didn't feel like forgiving, specifically, the challenge in my life was my father, who had a lifestyle of infidelity.
Okay.
He was very, very harsh, sometimes cruel, and so it wasn't logical to forgive.
Mm.
So bottom line, I didn't, because I had an equation. I had now come to Christ, and even though I was changing in many areas, this was one area that, again, was not logical.
Mm-hmm.
There was no repentance on my father's part. There was no asking forgiveness. There was no I'm sorry, nothing. And so to me, it was also, since he had a lifestyle of infidelity, I had this equation. I love math. Math makes sense. God hates sin.
Mm-hmm.
Dad is sinning. God hates dad. I hate dad. that was very logical to me. Obviously, that is not what the Bible says, but in fact, the Bible says that if you hate someone, your brother, you are walking in darkness, and the darkness has blinded you. You don't even know where you're going.
Absolutely.
So I didn't want to hear that. And plus, I actually thought, but God knows my situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
So he would understand. he understands that.
Amen.
But the fact is, I am not the exception. I am not the exception to the rule.
Mm.
Yes, he understands, but he still says we are to forgive. So the bottom line is I had to learn a different way. I had to, in fact, the Bible actually says, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Amen.
So if we're going to forgive as the Lord forgave us, well, I didn't deserve to be forgiven. So people don't deserve forgiveness. In fact, it's administered when it is not deserved.
Amen.
If it's deserved, then you earn it. And that means it's not forgiveness at all.
Amen. Amen. So what was the response on your book? I mean, how did people take this book of forgiveness?
Well, it's been in airports and a lot. So
it's something that people needed to hear.
Yeah, about 60 some odd thousand books have been sold.
Awesome.
Publisher just showed us some statistics on that, but the main, you know what's interesting, David, I got a letter from a man, actually a text, and he said, I want you to know I've never been able to forgive before. He said, this is the first time I've been able to forgive because I understand now the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation.
That's good.
Many people do not forgive. He said, I thought in order to forgive, I would then have to be reconciled. But that's not true. Reconciliation is two ways. However, forgiveness is one way.
Hmm.
It's not based on what the other person does or doesn't do. If we bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance it is that we have against one another, then it's only based on what we choose to do. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It's an act of the will.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of you forgive a person basically based on the fact that there is a need to do what God wants you to do. It's a choice to do what God wants you to do. And it, regardless of broken trust. However, reconciliation is based on if there is restored trust.
Mm.
Huge distinction.
Absolutely.
So there has to be a change. In fact, you can think about it this way. Forgiveness is like a change in mind about the offender. Okay, I need to, as an act of my will, choose to forgive you. Whereas reconciliation is based on a fact that a person has chosen to be trustworthy. There's a major difference of looking at that other person and saying, okay, if you have done these things, then we can be reconciled. You know, the scripture, Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they are agreed to do so? So if there's no agreement, if there's no like-mindedness, then there's no reconciliation. Now, some people have a hard time with that, and they say, well, that doesn't seem right. We're, you know, God's a God of reconciliation, and we read this. Well, really, that's referring to salvation. But the fact is, in truth, let's say, David, you have a child. Do you have a child?
I have four of them.
Four? Do you have a girl? A little girl?
I have my little princess. Right. Yep, she's eight. Yeah.
Okay, let's just say that next door to you was a couple, lived next door, and on occasion you've had them in your home, and now you've got to leave because you and your family, you and your wife are needing to take care of a heartache, an emergency, and so they are willing to keep your children until you get back.
Okay.
The next day. And then later, several months later, you find out that the next door neighbor, the man, he molested your little princess, your precious daughter. And you're just stunned. Well, tell me, would you continue to just have this man over at your home?
It would be hard to. It would be hard to.
No, well, do you not have a responsibility? It's not hard, is it not? Do you not have a responsibility as a dad to be a protector?
Yeah, you're right. You have to be the protector.
Yeah.
There.
So no, you don't. You don't have a reconciled relationship if this man is arrogant and stay. You know, so I didn't do anything. Well, and yet you know that the fact is that there was your precious child mm-hmm. was molested. So the point is, there's a difference between forgiveness. You still need to be able to forgive him. But the question now is, how do you do it?
Mm.
Because you don't feel like it. I mean,
if you've been betrayed.
In
that situation, that would be the hardest thing to for any father, any parent, to forgive.
Most dads want to kill the guy.
That was my next question. When do I go across the street and take care of this?
Yeah. So the thing is, this is where, and this is what I had to learn. It's not letting a person off the hook, just letting them go free, etc. You're taking that person off of your emotional hook. And I say emotional hook because every time you see that man, every time you physically are in that man's presence, you're going to be impacted. You're going to feel something on the inside that's not good. So you have a choice. You can go on and let that man control you every time you think of him, every time that person, you see that person. Well, in truth, your choice is now you can take him off of your emotional hook and put him onto God's hook. That is forgiveness. You release him. You say, Lord, there must be something terribly broken in his life, and I will choose as an act of my will to release him into your hands. There's no way he can pay me back, because that's the concept of forgiveness. Often it is dismissing a debt. Well, he can't pay you back. Yeah, there's nothing he could do to do that. And so you release him into God's hands, because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Absolutely.
So forgiveness actually can set you free.
Amen.
Instead of that bitterness, the resentment, the hatred that would be natural for most people, you literally are able to set that person free. And therefore, what I mean by set them free, they can't pay you back anyway. So the truth is, now you are emotionally set free on the inside.
Yeah, that's true. The Bible says whatever you hold on to in heaven, and you hold on earth, you hold on in heaven. So if you hold on to that grudge and that anger, you have to let that go. Mm-hmm. To free them, you do. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in your book, correct?
Yes, the book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It.
Amen. And they can buy that on your website, everywhere books are sold, correct?
Airports, too. Amazon or whatever local Christian bookstores.
Now, you do a lot of counseling, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now how much does forgiveness come up in the counseling?
Sometimes somebody is talking about another issue, and if you're going to peel the layers of the mm-hmm. onion, what it boils down to is a bitterness, a lack of forgiveness. So sometimes they don't start out there, but clearly that can... I would say it is one of the major topics of all. Anger, forgiveness, and understanding how to do it is absolutely key. By the way, in order to continue in that state of forgiveness where... because some people do say, and I'm sure you've heard this, well, I thought I forgave, but no, I must not have, because I have these strong feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the scripture is clear, as with Peter, how many times do I forgive? 7 times. And by the way, that was really amazing, because normally with Jewish law, you know, if it's 3 times, okay, 4th time, you know, your history. But he was really being magnanimous. He was being noble.
Yeah.
7 times. And then, you know, Jesus goes to the extreme of, no, Peter, it's 70 times 7. And it's not like you go, oh, well, let me see. That was number 13 that person did that. Okay, this is number 21. You know, it's not like you're counting. It means unlimited. And so The issue is every time you think of that offense or the offender, you make a choice to forgive again. Forgiveness is a process, and unfortunately, many pastors, many times from the pulpit, it's presented as a one-time act.
Yeah.
Well, there's a one-time, but then maybe then two, three, four, however many times. So what I say is, and this is what has been true for me, every time I have a very, very difficult person in my life, as soon as I think of that person, I immediately think there's something wrong within that person. There's something broken, something that's not well, something not normal in that person. So, Lord, I pray for them. You know, the Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. I pray that that person be willing to be changed by you. It's not God change them. God will change anybody. He wants to change anybody for anything, you know, that anybody who needs to change. But the fact is, what we have to see is that we have to be willing to change. So I would pray for that person to be willing to be broken, willing to see their need for change. And that way, if we continue to pray for that person who's very difficult in our lives, you know, you can't pray for someone consistently without feeling a care.
That's true.
A concern for that person.
Yes.
And that's what I would call the barrier, a protective barrier to keep us from becoming hateful and a bitter person. Nobody likes to be around bitter people anyway.
Absolutely.
And so if you want to be protected from being bitter and resentful, knowing that you don't like to be around bitter, resentful people, even though the people who are resentful, they say, oh, but I'm being logical. I'm right. Well, you may be right that somebody offended you, but the point is, it is not a natural response. It is a supernatural response when you choose to forgive.
Amen, amen. Now, let us have your contact information so people can get a hold of you.
The name of our ministry is Hope for the Heart, hopefortheheart.org. If they contact us on the web,
okay.
1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488 and the letters HOPE. And we have two radio programs. One is
Great.
Called Hope for the Heart. The other is called Hope in the Night, a two-hour nighttime call-in counseling program.
Wow.
Where people call from all over
now,
the United
that on
States.
What stations is that on, are those on?
Well, we're all over the United States. We're ultimately on about 900 stations.
How many times a week does that come on?
Monday through Friday. For Hope for the Heart, it's a daily 30-minute program, which is a teaching program.
Okay.
It could be, for example, teaching for a week on various kinds of abuse or various kinds of addiction
okay.
or marriage and family issues, cults, you know, just
wow.
or personal
so that was a
issues.
That's a 30-minute one.
That's a 30-minute call, Hope for the Heart.
Okay.
And that, again, is a 30-minute daily, but it's on different times at different stations. Then Hope in the Night is a two-hour nighttime.
And what
call-in.
Time does that one usually start?
Typically, it's I'm from Dallas. Dallas time or
okay.
Central Zone is 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Well, my sister, I want to offer you a free internet here. You can have your team contact me. I want to get those simulcasts on our station. It's free. And we'll take it through the airways. We have 3 million listeners, and about a million of those are outside the United States. 2 million are inside the United States. We had 170,000 people just in December just jump on our site listening. Our average listening time is 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 52 minutes. And for everyone on a talk show, for our sermon channel, it's about 2 hours, and for the music channel, it's about 3 hours. So I'm sorry, 6 hour average listening audience. My show is 2 hours and 52
uh-huh.
minutes. So 6 hour listening audience. So we definitely want to get you plugged in. If we can, even if we get your archives and play those for you, but we can basically, depending where which station it's on mm-hmm. locally, does it broadcast online? Amen and amen. That's pretty much the show, the interview that we had with Miss June Hunt, and she was amazing when we were out there, and she will be interviewed again. Definitely. In fact, I got the email from them to get another interview set up for them at the interview, and anytime I could interview was great. I want to give her the stats. In fact, the Prayer and Counseling Channel itself, we got June. We only had the talk show, the music channel, and we had the sermon channel. But we added June, and we added another gentleman named David Wood at the same time. And what we did was we created an entirely different channel called Prayer Counseling and Prayer Channel. And now, today, as of today, the Counseling and Prayer Channel is one of the most listened to channels in within just 1 year. Now, the talk show channel is still pretty strong, and the music channel and the sermon channel, too, as well. But number one right now is the live stream, the talk show channel. And number two is the prayer and counseling channel. And I've added the Point Live this past month and with Mike Zachman, and that has added to it. So we're adding a whole new layer of prayer and counseling 24/7 here on Rev Media Network. It's awesome. So I want you to stay tuned to those programs every time. You can go to them anytime and listen to them. There's one of those men of God, one of those women of God on there. And June does a great job of counseling. David and Mike do a great job of praying. And we every time we get someone that counsels, they're going to be adding on and adding and adding on there. So I want you to continue to help bring that channel up to where it needs to be. And also, we have Hope in the Night that airs Monday through Friday on her own player on the live events page. You'll see Hope in the Night, and on Hope in the Heart airs regularly through Rev Media Network. It constantly plays the Rev Media Network on the Talk Show channel. So if you want to hear Hope in the Heart, it'll be through Rev Media Network on Talk Channel, Radio Channel 1, the Talk Show channel, and Hope in the Night, Monday through Friday on Live Events page. So these are some awesome things, and we just partnered in it. We signed a contract with them to air them for free and to be a blessing to them, and we sowed a seed to them, and that seed's returned by giving us more listeners. So that's amazing. God is able to do great things, able to make great things happen for you. And may great things come to life in your life, my friends. So I hope you were encouraged. Hope that June had something for you, and I hope that I had something for you. And we believe that God is going to do something with you this year. That your hope will not be deferred, my friends. That God has great things for you. We'll see you. God bless you. Till next time. Write me, David at RevMediaNetwork.com.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.